Welcome back to the Mike McEntee Show here on AM 950. Starbucks owned stores across the country and the Twin Cities closed their doors today to have a conversation about race with its employees. You've probably seen the video that triggered today's training sessions. Two black men were arrested at a Philadelphia Starbucks store for doing the same thing that a lot of white people do. They didn't order anything, and they asked to use the restroom. Starbucks is a member of the Multicultural Food Service and Hospitality Alliance, which helps companies with unconscious bias. And Jerry Fernandez is the founder and CEO of that group. He joins us now to talk about the Starbucks story. Jerry, welcome to the program.
Well, nice to be here. Thank you.
Good to have you on. So let's start out with, what is unconscious bias? Is that just another way of saying racism?
I wouldn't quite say that. Unconscious bias is automatic assumptions that brains and everyone does when they see people or have certain experiences. It triggers things you've seen in the past. So you make connections and automatic assumptions without, you know, intentions or without control. So all of our lives, we develop a certain set of experiences, certain ways to behave, and your brain is always trying to take that 11 million bits of information that's coming at it at any given time and chunk it down so it can make quick decisions. So it takes shortcuts. Everyone, if you have a brain, you have bias. You have unconscious bias. If you're normal, you have unconscious bias. What's important is getting in touch with those biases and changing your behavior around it. And that's really what is the focus of the unconscious bias work, is get everyone in touch with this stuff, give them some tools and some tips on how to overcome bias so you can make better decisions.
Now, as I mentioned here at the beginning, your group has worked with Starbucks in the past. I don't know if you're doing the work with them on what they were doing today, but you've done similar work. What is likely going on in these Starbucks stores today?
Well, they issued a piece to the press last week where they outlined some of the specifics of video that they produced, which talked about what they were going to try to accomplish in closing the stores today. First of all, it's a tremendous commitment on their part to try to make some headway on an issue that could have happened to anyone. You know, what happened to Starbucks could happen to any retailer, because people bring with them their biases, they bring with them their past experiences, their prejudices, and they can play out. And so their goal is to have a straight conversation with their employees about what kind of organization they want to have, what kind of a company they want to be, and help people, you know, get in touch with the fact that, you know, we all have these biases, these prejudices, these experiences. How do we make sure that they're not leading to bad decisions? How do we be inclusive? And so I think they started first with their senior leadership, and then with their store management, and then ultimately, you know, today with all of their employees. But I think they know, in fact, they've said that this is not the end all be all, because you can't change human behavior by, you know, one afternoon or one meeting. This takes time, and it takes repetition, and it takes people convincing that, you know, hey, that what I'm thinking is wrong. People don't change behavior until they are convinced that what they're doing is wrong. And you know, that's just human nature. So I think that they know this is the step. That they have a lot more work to do. What that is going to look like is the $64,000 question. Obviously, they're going to share it with their internal people first. And then, you know, I think those of us who are partners and supporters will hear a little bit more about how they plan to move this effort forward.
Now, obviously, talking to the employees, talking to the managers about everything you just mentioned is a good way, and probably one of the ways to deal with the problem. But let's talk about other ways. Are there other ways? Because when we start looking at the industry, we find, especially you know, Starbucks as a white CEO, we have you know, managers of stores that are white. Does that play a part into this? Does getting a more diverse workforce out there, would that do something to solve this problem?
Well, certainly it helps. Again, going back to their press release, Roz Brewer is their number two person in the organization, is an African American woman, and she came out of Walmart. So she's well-heeled and really experienced with operating large, you know, multinational global players. They also have people of color on their board of directors. So I think Starbucks is probably in better situation than a lot of the other companies out there, where they're talking about it. They have a plan. They've been involved on diversity and inclusion efforts for well more than 10 years. And they have people of color at varying degrees of responsibility in their organization. Now, there are lots of other companies who have more work to do. And I don't think anyone's satisfied with the playing field the way that it is right now. We still have inequity in women and men's pay. So women still don't earn the same money for the same work. We clearly see more blacks and Latinos and other underrepresented groups at entry level and mid-level managers. But like I always tell people, it takes about 20 years to grow a colonel in the U.S. Army. It takes about 20 years to grow a vice president in an industry like ours. And so if you haven't been planting seeds for a long time and developing people, it's going to be much harder to see that diversity showing up at senior levels and executive levels, no matter what company, no matter what industry.
Now, no matter what you do here in America, the pool of people you hire are the people who are in America. So I have to ask, is this a systemic problem that's just in the hospitality industry, or is it America in general that we are dealing with this? And this is something that maybe we should be having these sessions with everybody across America.
Well, I happen to agree with you. I think that what's changing is the browning of America has occurred. There are now more children, more than 50% of births are born to you know, black, Latino, Asian, and other non-white groups. So the reality of the American landscape is there's going to be more people of color, more minorities, more immigrants. And that's just a fact. And so there are some pockets of people feel like, hey, somehow, you know, these new immigrants are taking our jobs, or with the focus being on developing women and people of color, that somehow, you know, the pie gets smaller, when in fact, you know, we see it quite the opposite, that, you know, a bigger pie creates more opportunities for more people. And that's everyone. And, you know, you don't have to be a person of color to be successful in communities of color. So I know plenty of white males and white females who do really well leading and developing minorities, immigrants, others who are not like them, because they look at people are people. Everybody wants to have a way to support their family. They want to feel valued. They want to be respected. They want to be heard. And I think we're going to have to do that in a more inclusive way than we have in the past. That means we're going to have to deal with some of the tough issues around race. There are still lots of places where, you know, by the skin you're in will indicate whether you get service or you don't get service, whether you have a positive interaction with an institution or a negative. And, you know, those are just issues that are going to have to be faced. We have to be sure that more Hispanics are getting college education, because, you know, as they become a bigger portion of the population, we want an educated workforce so America can win. We can't win if only, you know, one group is getting highly educated and everyone else is falling behind. We need everyone, regardless of the package God put them in, to be achieving at high levels, both in our companies, in our communities, in our schools, and in the government. And so, you know, this whole issue of diversity is what's natural. It's what we have right now. It's learning how to engage it and develop people so everybody feels included. And so we don't have issues like we had with people in the Starbucks in Philly. You know, those things we want to try to eliminate. And I think ongoing training, ongoing conversations, honest conversation about race and culture, you know, I think it will go a long way. But as long as the political discord is as, you know, inhospitable as it has been, and we don't practice civility, and you heard the tweet from Roseanne. I mean, those things just, you know, what would make people think you could say that and that will be okay, you know? Mm-hmm. I just don't get it. You lose your job for things like that.
Let's talk about that, because we've been talking about that. It kind of interweaves in a lot of things we've been chatting about in the show today. We saw ABC take immediate and decisive action on a racial incident when its CEO announced Roseanne Barr's show would be canceled because of a racist tweet she made. I should point out that one of the executives at ABC is an African American, and was part of making that immediate action. Starbucks CEO was very swift with his apology and decision to hold trainings. How important is it to take swift action that's clear and it is from the top? And why don't most companies do that? Because we end up with PR, press people, you know, all sorts of stuff, ambiguous language.
Well, press people want to get paid too, so I get that. But it's the best run companies. Smart business people have figured out that when you make a mistake, how quickly you respond and how thoroughly you react to it makes all the difference in the world. And Starbucks hasn't lost business as a result of this, because they did the right thing right away. Now, they're not perfect, and they're probably going to have more missteps, because that's human nature. But more companies need to step up. And I think you're going to see more of that happening because, the federal government and our elected officials can't seem to get things done. And CEOs, they know how to get stuff done. And if they start working together and they collaborate on things, you're going to see movement. And at the end of the day, you can't win in American business if you don't have a qualified, well-trained workforce. And if that workforce happens to be more Hispanic or more female or more immigrant, you have to make sure that you're giving them every opportunity to achieve and produce at a high level. And the same is true of customers. Customers come in all sizes, shapes, and colors. And in one sense, you don't really care what box they check off on the census. You just want to make sure that you're giving them a high-quality experience. If it's a restaurant, if you're an auto dealer, whatever the case may be. Customers are customers, and if they don't get treated right, they're going to take their dollars and they're going to go somewhere else. So I think people will vote with their feet. I think you're also going to see a more aggressive change. You know, these young kids from the shootings and all that, they're going to say to politicians, we're not waiting for you. You guys aren't going to make a decision. We're going to vote you out. And so I think that the Me Too movement, where women's issues are finally being addressed in a serious way. People are losing jobs. People from big organizations and big, personalities are being held accountable. And I think we should keep the focus on these things, because this is perhaps the kind of change that, will really have long-lasting implications. You know, I have granddaughters, and I want to see them treated fairly regardless of the skin they're in. And I don't want them to be harassed. By the same token, I want to see that my grandsons are being treated properly, and that they're treating their friends and everybody else properly. So I think corporate is going to lead, because that's what they always do. I think it's become more acceptable for CEOs to check in on social issues. And I think that's largely because politicians aren't doing their work.
We're speaking with Jerry Fernandez. He is the CEO and founder of Multicultural Food Service and the Hospitality Alliance, which helps companies with a lot of different things, including training on unconscious bias. We've been talking about what's been going on at Starbucks here today. You deal with all sorts of companies on these issues. I'd like your macro view on this. Are we getting better or are we getting worse? Because we hear so about these incidents like in Philadelphia. Is it just that we're talking about it more and that's an indication that we're dealing with it, or is it really getting worse?
Well, it's a very good question. I think, first off, because of social media, things that we didn't know about before are now, on the front page. So things that might not have been widely reported are now showing up in someone's cell phone. And so it's kind of like, because more instances are getting covered, does that mean there's more instances of it taking place? I don't think anybody really knows the answer to that. I've been in this work for 22 years. I've been in the restaurant industry for 44 years. And, I feel like it's like style. Sometimes the pendulum goes to the right and it goes to the left and it goes back to the middle. I think we are making some progress. I think because you have more CEOs talking about this, because people have seen the business case, this isn't just a social, moral, ethical rationale. This is about business. If you don't get smart people, you can't run the business effectively. That goes right to the bottom line. If you can't sell and market to all customers, then your sales go down. That goes right to your bottom line. So I think we're making progress. I think this whole issue of baby boomers retiring now is opening up, you know, more opportunity for younger people to move up. But by the same token, you know, you have to be careful not to forget the lessons you've learned. Sometimes there's an old saying that, you know, before you take down a fence post, make sure you know why they put it up in the first place. Because if you have support for diversity and inclusion, you have these guidelines, and then 10 years go by or 15 years go by and you dismantle that stuff, you may find out that, you know, if you forget history, you're destined to repeat it. So I think we have to stay focused. This is a business issue. It's a take care of your people kind of thing, whether they're your employees, your customers. You know, it's a human rights thing. It's like doing the right thing is not that hard. Everybody knows what it is. But we get so tied into our own agendas that sometimes we, you know, we put politics before people. You know, we really don't make good decisions because we're trying to win at this or win at that. And I think corporations have made a big step forward in making sure that they look at the total picture, their employees, their customers, the communities that they serve, and you know, all of their stakeholders, not just the shareholders.
And one thing I didn't mention here when I introduced you is that you used to live here in Minneapolis. You used to work for General Mills, one of the big employers around here, and you're actually coming back, I think, in the near future to do some of these seminars that we've just been talking about for businesses. When you do those, I mean, who attends these things, and what are the kind of questions that you get from businesses?
Well, I did spend 9 winters in Minneapolis, and all three
Notice
of our
you
boys
counted that as winters.
yes, and our boys graduated from Minneapolis Public Schools, and I'll always be indebted to General Mills and the great people over there who gave me my start. But you know, today we go around the country and we bring half-day workshops where we talk about the issues, and then we offer some of this unconscious bias training. We also offer some of our cultural intelligence engagement. And then some leadership and professional development content that we've developed. And so when we come to the Twin Cities, we'll be there in June at Ecolab. A number of their customers, our members, operators, will send their managers, assistant managers, and some of their other leaders to a half-day session where we'll give them an update on the industry's progress. So here's what's working, here's what's not working, here's what people are working on. And then we'll introduce the unconscious bias workshop. You know, give them 2 hours of that, show them what we've been doing across the country, and encourage people to keep focused and stay on these kinds of things. Because once you know what you have, what your biases are, like I have a bias for tattoos on people's neck. You know, for some reason, I don't think it looks good. But because I'm aware of it now, when I meet somebody, I consciously say, hey, don't let that enter into how I think about this person or how I will just, you know, have a conversation about this person, particularly if you're looking for work. So once you know you've got a bias against something, you can do something about it. That's the good news about it.
All right. Well, I hope you can help people identify their biases, because that is going to help us out a lot. Jerry, I appreciate you spending time with us today.
Well, thank you. And thank you for the great work you're doing. And hello to all my former Minnesotan friends. I used to live there. I loved it there. And I still have a lot of friends there. I'm looking forward to being back there in a few weeks.
It was 100 degrees here yesterday. I think you'll enjoy
the
weather.
I saw that in the news.
All right, Jerry.
All right, take care.
Take care. Thanks. Folks, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to open the phone lines, 952-946-6205. Rapid fire, what did you think about what happened with Roseanne Barr being fired today, her show being canceled because of the racist tweet she sent out? Instant justice? Upset about it? 952-946-6205. It's the Mike McEntee Show here on AM 950.